In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text for consideration this Father's Day morning is our gospel lesson we read again at the final verse. Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? So far our text, will you please pray with me and especially for me? Gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, the wind and the waves obey your voice. Bring each of us closer to you and be obedient to that voice of your Son, Jesus. To that end, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The stormy weather incident recorded for us in this morning's gospel lesson is not just a nice story about a miracle worker, Jesus saving his followers from a watery grave. It is also full of teachings concerning the nature of Jesus as Christ and the nature of the sinners in the boat with him, which is also our sinful natures. The context leading up to the events in today's gospel include a very full day of teaching for Jesus. We heard two of the parables he taught in last week's gospel. So it's really been a very long day for him. Jesus is very tired. As it often the case, after a busy time of ministry, Jesus decided to get away with his disciples for some much-needed rest and relaxation. In this case, he elected to travel across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles across from west to east, at its widest point. Ordinarily, the crossing would take only a few hours, but on this crossing, a storm came up. Even though several of the disciples were experienced fishermen, they were still very frightened. This indicates that this storm was certainly very powerful. Where was Jesus during this storm? He was asleep in the stern of the boat. He was exhausted from his long day and fell asleep so sound that even the storm did not wake him. The fact that Jesus was asleep is an important demonstration of the nature of Christ. Other than his actual death on a cross, there's no better demonstration of the humanity of Jesus than the sleep of exhaustion. Every human being on the planet knows what it is to grow tired and fall asleep. Isn't it just wonderful at night when you just fall asleep, peaceful? It's a gift from God. Here Jesus demonstrates his unity with all people, especially us. He sleeps like no other human being. But then, the disciples wake him and ask for his help. We should not assume that the disciples were expecting much from Jesus. After all, he was brought up as a carpenter, not as a sailor. It's much more likely that they were just thinking in terms of another set of hands to help bail the water out of the boat or some other similar activity. It may even be that they just wanted him to move away from the stern so that they had better access to the rudder. In any case, they woke him and asked for help, but they certainly did not expect what happened next. Jesus woke up, had a few choice words for the developing weather elements. The word rebuke here in the text, it means that Jesus scolded the wind and water rather harshly. After that, the wind and the water became calm. Now you and I could scold the weather until it were blue in the face. Nothing would ever change it. Remember that movie, Forrest Gump? Where Sergeant Dan, he's sitting up there on that mast pole, and he's cursing that storm. Well, if we would continue with such activity as this, people might wonder if they should call the authorities on us to take us somewhere to get a mental checkup. Jesus, on the other hand, scolded the weather, and the weather paid attention to him. It paid attention because Jesus is not just your ordinary sleepy human being. He is also the God of the universe. Jesus' ability to control the wind and the waves with just a word clearly shows that he is God. So it is that this one event very clearly demonstrates that Jesus is both 100% man and 100% God in one person. The disciples, on the other hand, were terrified. The original Greek says they feared a great fear. They were in a boat with someone who could talk to the wind and the waves, and the wind and the waves would actually pay attention to what he said. They began to question who their master and teacher really was. This is one of the themes of Jesus' life. People often ask who Jesus is. Today we heard that the wind and the waves know who Jesus is. This gospel account, in other parts of it, we learn that diseases, birth defects, and injuries know who Jesus really is. Even the demons know who Jesus really is. But when it comes to human beings, she's a great mystery, it seems. They ask regularly, who is this? Where does he get his authority? Hear the word the Holy Spirit spoke through his prophet Isaiah. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. This terror of God traced its way clear back to Eden. God called and Adam replied, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Adam had sinned, and the presence of the holy and almighty God terrified him. It's the same for all people who see their sin clearly in the holy presence of the almighty God. The writer of the Hebrews put it this way, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is the reason it's so important that Jesus be both man and God. If Jesus were only God, he could not take our place under the law and live a holy life for us. He also could not suffer the penalty we have earned for our sin. If Jesus were a man and nothing more, then his perfect life and his sacrificial death would earn salvation for one and only one person. The rest of the world would be lost. Totally. So it is essential for our salvation that Jesus be both God and man. We need the salvation that Jesus provides because the storm on the Sea of Galilee, that's just one of many instances and many disasters that sin of humanity has brought into this world. The destruction that storms bring is an expression of the curse that came when sin entered into the world. Our sin not only brings sickness and death to us, but even the world is cursed. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the Romans, we know the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, hail, lightning, earthquakes, all the other natural disasters are the result of curse that our sin brought into this world. These natural disasters are not only the storms that our sin has brought into the world. There are many storms in our lives as well. You know, there are medical storms of infection, heart disease, diabetes, strokes, cancer, and so forth, and many more. There are relational storms of broken families and friendships, many more. There are financial storms of plants closing and layoffs, many more. Ultimately, there is a storm of death that comes to all of us sooner or later. That is not for many more than at one time. We may try to deny the existence of sin in our lives, but these storms, both private and public, say otherwise. It is in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the fact that the Son of God assumed human nature, that we see God's loving plan to deal with sin. In Jesus Christ, God assumed human nature to save humans from their nature, their sinful nature. Because of our own sin, doomed us to perish, not just from this earth, but also from the blessing of God's presence with us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we read, but the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God's human nature allowed him to be the target of God's wrath as he hung on the cross. God's divine nature allowed him to endure that wrath for all people in all times and all places. So it is that God took on human flesh and saved us all from our sins. We have complete confidence in that salvation that Jesus earned for us because death was unable to hold him. Because Christ did not remain in the grave, but after he conquered death, he rose from death, never to die again. After he rose, he showed himself to his disciples. He encouraged them to examine the marks of his cross and his body. He talked to them. He ate with them. He interacted with them in very human ways. In the same time, locked doors and windows were no barrier for him. He appeared and he disappeared at will. In his resurrection, he demonstrated that he lives forever as both God and man in one person. Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. With that combination, we find our full salvation from sin, death, and the power of the devil. In his humanity, he was able to suffer on the cross in our place and for our good. In his deity, he was able to defeat our foes and rise from the dead to give us eternal life. It is in that person of Jesus Christ, who both slept and stilled the storm, that we have our faith in the promise of eternal life, as well as the promise that your sins are all forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now I ask you to rise and join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe.